Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good morning to all of my precious brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast. I am your host, Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad you tuned in today, December the 5th. It's Saturday. I'm pretty sure that you have an abundance of things to do, shopping, laundry, taking care of the kids, maybe going on a date with your spouse, with your loved one. There's so much to do, but again, I'm glad that you tuned in because we have a word of the Lord for you. And as you heard the shofars, we are making a clarion call to all ministers, to all apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. We're calling the fivefold to prayer. Because we need prayer in this hour. Listen, we don't need any more sermons. We don't need any more conferences. We don't need any more lectures. Listen, what we need is prayer. That's what we need. And what God is looking for is for a generation of people who will stop talking about what they're going to do. Forget about what we're going to do. Stop pushing your vision. I got this vision. Forget that nonsense. Forget it. Forget what you want to preach on. Forget it. We need people who are just going to bend their knees and pray. That's what we need. We need. Do we really need another sermon? No. We don't need enough. We have so many sermons that our cars, we have CDs in our cars of sermons we've been listening to and sermons we haven't heard yet. You turn on to the Word Network and you got preachers. You turn on to Daystar Network and you got preachers. And you turn on to TBN and you got preachers. And everywhere you go, someone wants to tell you something that they heard from God. Well, here's the prophet Isaiah. Here's the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 62. And this is a sure word of prophecy. See, what you're getting out of Isaiah chapter 62, verse 1, my brothers and sisters, is a sure word of prophecy. You don't need to get in your car and travel anywhere to go see a prophet. What are you going to hear? Some mumbo-jumbo? What are you going to hear? That God wants to do something for you if you give $500? What are you going to hear? What are you going to drink? Some more Kool-Aid? Do you need any more Kool-Aid? Aren't you tired of the Kool-Aid? Here's a sure word of prophecy. The prophet Isaiah writes, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until what? Until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth." Now, what is Isaiah saying? What is he saying? Listen, I'm going to give myself to praying and prophesying. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be on my knees. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to confess my sins and the sins of the people. I'm going to tarry before the Lord. I'm going to wrestle with the Lord until daybreak. I'm going to do what needs to be done in the area of prayer. And then I'm going to get up once. God has changed me in my heart and my thinking. Then and only then will I get up and share with the people. Not a word for them. No. This is not about you and what God wants to give you. And it's not about your destiny. It's more than that, folks. It's about a collective destiny. It's not about your individual destiny. And we're so much into individualism today. We're so blinded by self and what I can get for me and what God has for me instead of what God has for us as a people. And the prophet Isaiah said it's time for us to start thinking about ourselves as a people. And we shouldn't be satisfied if some of us are in the ghetto and some are still in the ghetto. And I'm talking about God's people. We shouldn't be satisfied if I'm out of the projects, but yet you're still in the projects. Well, you know, the Lord has blessed me, and, you know, I finally left the projects. Well, you can't be happy. You can't be happy, folks, if you're out of the projects, yet your covenant brothers and sisters are still in the projects. You see, that is selfism. And what you're going to get in the church today is a bunch of selfism. It's about you, and you, and only you. And the prophet Isaiah said, no. If God has called you, it's never about you, but it's you ministering for the benefit of the people. Isaiah said, I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to wrestle to the Lord until daybreak for me and for my wife and for my kids. He says, no. I'm going to wrestle with God for Zion's sake. For Zion's sake, the church's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest. You see, it's not about what I can get from God for me, but it's what I can get from God for us. It's about us. Aren't you sad? Aren't you sad? Aren't you heartbroken, saints? Aren't you depressed over the condition of the church? Aren't you heartbroken over what the church has become today? How the church is still in the gutter? How the church has its members still rolling in the mire? How there are tons and tons and tons and tons of people who need deliverance and haven't gotten delivered yet? Gives me insomnia. I can't sleep at night. I'm heartbroken over the fact that in our pulpits, instead of pastors, we have pimps. Instead of pastors, we have predators. Instead of pastors, we have prostitutes. Instead of pastors, we have parasites. That grieves me. It breaks my heart. It grieves my heart. And this is why the prophet Isaiah said, for Zion's sake, I want to see Zion changed. I want to see Jerusalem changed. I want to see the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see the change transformed. I want to see the bride of Christ being the bride of Christ. And that only comes by means of prayer. This is why we're rallying the troops. It's time to pray. It's time to set up watchmen on the wall. It's time. It's time. It's time. As Isaiah said in Isaiah 62, verse 6, I have set watchmen upon the walls, thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest. Keep not silent until he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. You know, people mock the church today. People are laughing at the church today. The church is not a praise in the earth. The church is a mockery in the earth. The church is being laughed at in the earth. We're supposed to be a praise. People are supposed to rejoice when they see the church being the church. But we're not the praise in the earth. We're the punching bag of the earth. People laugh at the church because we have men and women in the church that have no convictions. They stand for nothing and laugh at everything. Saints, we are in desperate trouble. Oh, the enemy has come in like a flood. Oh, the enemy has come in like a flood. But we are believing that when the enemy would come in as the flood, it is the Spirit of the Lord that would raise up a retaining wall against him. Yes, the enemy is coming in like a tsunami. Satan is coming in with a flood of heresy, with a flood of immorality. But it is the Spirit of the Lord. When Satan would want to come in like a tsunami, it is the Spirit of the Lord that would raise up a dam, a retaining wall against him. But we need watchmen. We need watchmen on that retaining wall. We need watchmen. We need watchmen walking the walls of that dam and giving God no rest until he establish Jerusalem as a praise in the earth. Will you join me, saints? Will you join me? Will you join me? The verse under consideration, the slice of verse, the little piece of the verse that we have under consideration today is Isaiah 62, 1D. 1D. And that 1D is this part. And the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. That's the last part of verse 1. So let me read the whole verse, but then I want to focus on the part that we're focusing on today. For Zion's sake, says verse 1, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness. Now here's the part for today. And the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Father God, we ask you to bless us today. We are sitting at your table. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, to inspire us to prayer. Speak to us today, Lord. We are so deficient in prayer. Oh, when it comes to preaching, oh, we have an abundance. When it comes to teaching, we have an abundance. When it comes to dance, we have an abundance. When it comes to theater and the arts, we have an abundance. But when it comes to prayer, oh, we are so poverty-stricken when it comes to prayer. Forgive us of this sin, O Lord. Forgive us. We're so quick to tell people and to give people a word of the Lord. But we're so slow. We're so deficient in bending our knees and humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Have mercy on us, O Lord, and forgive us of this grave sin, we pray. Have mercy. Have mercy. Set watchmen on the wall, O Lord, that will not hold their peace, and that will not give you rest until you establish Jerusalem, until you establish the church of praise in the earth. Bless us, Lord. We humbly pray in the majestic and glorious, unrivaled name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we're considering that portion of the verse that says, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. If you go to your outline, saints, and I emailed you the outlines for the next 4 weeks, starting with today. And in our introduction, we have here. Well, first, let's go to our title. And our title reads, Praying and Prophesying. And prophesying here in this context is preaching. Praying and preaching. It's not preaching and praying, but it's praying and preaching. You have no right to preach. You have no right to preach 1 hour until you have been on your face praying 4 hours. You are a hypocrite and useless to the church if you just think that you can get behind the pulpit and use your grand oratorical skills to dazzle us and blow our minds for 1 hour, yet you did not spend hours in prayer. We must first pray, then prophesy, until deliverance becomes a tangible reality for all. You know, Isaiah prayed and he said, Lord, I'm praying the promises. Lord, you made promises to us, and I'm praying them to be manifested, because a promise without becoming a tangible reality is a pipe dream. Isaiah prayed and he prophesied because he wanted the promises of God to become a tangible reality. Don't you want something tangible? Don't you? Something tangible is something you can hold. It's something you can see. It's something you can feel. You know, when people get on these $1,000 lines and these $500 lines, I've witnessed this, where the prophets that you come up to, you get on the line and it's your turn, and now the prophet says, where's the money? And you give him the $500 and the prophet counts the money right in front of you. And you don't get a word until the prophet's able to see his money and count his money. That's a false prophet. Here Isaiah says, I'm going to pray, prophesy, until the people's needs become something they can see. Forget about the prophet seeing his $500 first, and then he'll prophesy to you. Get rid of that prophet. That's a minister of Satan. Isaiah says, I'm going to be relentless. I'm going to be relentless in prayer. I'm going to be relentless in prophesying until the people's deliverance becomes a tangible, palpable reality. In the introduction, Isaiah is relentless and he vows, pray and to cry aloud until deliverance for all saints arrives as much as the awaited sunrise. You know that when you're struggling, when you're in depression, when things are going bad for you, you know, you're in a state of darkness. When things are going bad for the saints, when things are going bad, and then it seems like the nightmare is never going to end. There's a cloud over you, a dark cloud of depression. And all you're doing is you're saying, and you're praying to God, and you're asking the Lord, Lord, lift this cloud. Lift this cloud, Lord. Let me see the sun again. Let me see the sun again. Oh, the night is far spent. Let the morning come. Let the sunrise take place. And Isaiah, as he's praying in Isaiah 62, verse 1, he says, we're in the dark. We're in the dark. And things have gone from bad to worse. But I have vowed, I have made up my mind, I will be relentless. And I will pray until God removes these dark clouds that hang over the church. And God brings the sun up to rise. Saints, we're in a dark hour. We are in a dark, dark hour. And it's getting darker by the minute because all preachers want to do is preach. All teachers want to do is teach. All prophets want to do is prophesy. But prophesying and preaching and teaching and dancing and singing is not going to remove the dark clouds. The one antidote for dark clouds is praying. 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 Now, what was Isaiah praying for? Now, I need to remind you, Isaiah is a prophet. And what was Isaiah the prophet? Not prophesying for, but praying for. What was he praying for? He was praying for salvation, or what we call deliverance. Deliverance, deliverance. Now, let me just show you from the Bible. Let me just show you. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis, go with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, verse 17. Genesis 18, 17. Now here you find that God is having a conversation with Abraham. God is having a conversation with his patriarchal prophet. You know that Abraham is a prophet. We know Abraham is a prophet because God called him a prophet. Here God is having a conversation with Abraham. And notice what the Lord says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, that they will keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. And the Lord said to Abraham, look what the Lord said to Abraham. He said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether is according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will. You know what God was saying to Abraham? Now, here's Abraham and God. They're having a conversation. Now, the text intimates that this prophet known as Abraham was not interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. He was not interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. He was not. He wasn't. We have no record that Abraham prayed for the conversion, the salvation, the deliverance of Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, after this, he prays. After this, he intercedes. But prior to this, he was not privy. He was not privy that there was some things going on in Sodom. God was privy to it because the Bible says that God heard the cry. God heard what? He heard the cry. And God was about to do something. He was about to deliver some people who were crying out to him. Yes, there were some people in Sodom. There were some people in Gomorrah who were crying out to God. And God was going to come down and check out, investigate, if you will, this particular cry. He was going to check it out. God. Now, notice, Abraham to this point had not prayed for Sodom. Now that God reveals to him what he's going to do, now Abraham is going to cry out to God on Sodom's behalf, on Gomorrah's behalf, but not prior to. You see, it was God who said to Abraham, I got to go check out Sodom and Gomorrah. There's some cries coming to me from that direction. But prior to that information, we have no biblical indication that Abraham had prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, here's the other thing. If you go with me to the book of Exodus, go with me to Exodus. Here you have another prophet. Who's this prophet? His name is whom? His name is Moses. Moses is another prophet of the Lord, another prophet of the Lord. And it says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, that while Moses was in Midian, God heard the cries of his people which were in Egypt. It says in Exodus 2:23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of their bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage, and God heard their cry, God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and he had respect unto them. Then in chapter 3, God appears to Moses in the burning bush, and starting at verse 7, the Lord says to Moses, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry. By reason of their task, I have known their sorrow. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up unto the land, the good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here are two verses where two prophets were not praying for a people, yet God heard their cry and wanted to deliver these two people. Now, can you imagine if God is willing to deliver people who don't have a prophet interceding for them, because there's no record that Abraham was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no record that Moses was interceding for his people who were in Egypt. There's no record. Now, can you imagine what God will do? If God showed up to deliver people and they had no prophet praying for them, can you imagine what God would do if a people had a prophet praying for them? You see, it says here that Isaiah made up his mind. He said, for Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. You see, the salvation, what is the salvation? Well, here the salvation is deliverance. How can we be happy, folks? How can we as leaders be happy and our people are not fully delivered? Well, they're delivered as far as salvation is concerned, but they're not delivered out of poverty. They haven't been delivered out of ignorance. They haven't been delivered from the Kool-Aid servers in the church. They haven't been delivered from the false prophets and the false teachers in the church. How can we be happy with us being delivered and our brothers and sisters still in bondage? If God was willing to deliver people in Sodom and Gomorrah without Abraham praying for them, and if God was willing to deliver people in Egypt without Moses praying for them, can you just imagine what God would do for his people now if we join Isaiah the prophet in praying for people? It's time, saints, it's time for us to pray that God would relight his burning bush. That's why the prophet Isaiah says that the people's salvation would resemble a lamp that burneth. The burning bush burned. The burning bush burned. And it was when the burning bush burned that God said to Moses, I send you now to Egypt, because the time has come for my people to be set free. You see, the burning bush in Moses' day was the lamp that burneth in Isaiah's day. Once the burning bush is lit, deliverance is coming. We need to pray. We need to pray that God would relight the bush. Now think about it. We're thinking about relighting our Christmas trees. And we get so excited because we're relighting our Christmas trees. Let's pray for God to light the bush, that the bush may burn again, because the bush burning means it's time for people to be delivered. It's time for people to be set free. You see, this is why little Samuel the prophet had a job. Eli gave him a job. You know what the job was? Keep the lamps burning. Because as long as the lamps burn, salvation is on the way. And folks, it's not just being saved from hell. It's not just being saved from sin. It's not just being saved from the devil. It's not just being saved from the grave. There's other things we need to be saved from. How about being saved from poverty? How about being saved from the projects? How about being saved from the ghetto? How about being saved from a loser's mentality? How about being saved from a woe is me mentality? There's a lot of things our people need to get saved from that Jesus wants to save them from. But these kinds of deliverances take fasting and prayer, and it requires that we have watchmen on the wall who will give God no rest and will not hold their peace until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Will you join me this week in praying? Will you join me in praying for the church, in praying for revival, that God would light the fires, the flames of revival? We need for God to send us a Holy Ghost fire revival. Jerusalem would be like a lamp that burneth. And all we need, folks, all we need is one Samuel who can keep the lamps burning. Now, I'm going to keep it burning, but will you join me? Will you join me in ensuring that the lamps in the tabernacle never go out? Can you join me in prayer? Can you join me praying without ceasing? And not praying, and listen, it's not about praying that you get, well, I'm praying for a new car. No, listen, stop the selfism. Let's get into collectivism. Let's get into praying for the whole church. For the whole church. For the whole church. For the whole church. For the whole church to come out of bondage, for the whole church to come out of ignorance, for the whole church to stop drinking the Kool-Aid, for the whole church to get closer to God. It's not about you and me anymore. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. Let's pray now for us in Jesus' name. Well, saints, that'll do it for this week. Tune in next week. And as I close this program, I want to remind you of tomorrow's broadcast, The Inspirational Psalmist. I'll be preaching, I'll be sharing to you out of Psalm 71. Tune in tomorrow. I have a word from the Lord for you. If you're down and out, if you're depressed, if you're discouraged, if you need a word from the Lord, tune in tomorrow. to the Inspirational Psalmist. And don't forget, we're on the air every single day with the Daily Manna from Heaven broadcast. I want to close today's program with the song, Arise and Shine. This is Radio Shepherd signing off. God bless you.